Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. Mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Old Testament book of Ezra. The Old Testament book of Ezra, we find this in a section we call the historical books. So if you remember that the Bible is set up in different sections, we start off with the first five books of the Bible, which is the books of Pentateuch, followed by 12 books of history, five books of poetry, five major prophets, and 12 minor prophets. 5, 12, 5, 5, 12. The book of Ezra is found inside of what we would call the historical books, which chronologizes the history of God's people in the Old Testament, from the calling of his people through Abraham to the wilderness wanderings with Moses. We could also trace the history as they go into the promised land with Joshua, the period where they forsook God to their own selves in the book of Judges. Then we could see as God starts working with the people specifically, and they call themselves a king. They start off with a king after their own heart, with King Saul. After that, God gave them a king after his own heart, with King David. After that was Solomon, and then from that, the kingdom was divided. And over, the people had the same problem. They refused to stay with God. They kept going to other little g gods to solve their problems. They kept going to themselves and trying to solve problems themselves rather than depending upon the Lord. So finally, God, in order to try to get their attention, brought them into what we would call the Babylonian captivity. He allowed Jerusalem and Judea to be destroyed. The temple was destroyed. And for 70 years, the people were brought from their home in Israel and Judah and scattered throughout the Babylonian Empire. For 70 years, they are now scattered amongst the people. As we now come to the book of Ezra, we now find as God is stirring and moving to have the people come return. And it wasn't a return to the land as much it was a return unto him, a call unto God himself. Notice with me in the book of Ezra chapter 1, as we now pick this story up, Ezra chapter 1 and verse 1. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, "Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem." And with this, we could see the question posed here, would you return? Will you return? And with this, we start this off with the question, as the people are scattered. They're scattered all throughout the empire. Cyrus makes a proclamation. He says, "I'm giving you permission to go back to your land. I give you permission to go back and serve your God. I give you permission to go back and build the house of the Lord. I give you permission to go back." And now with the permission, it's not only proclaimed, it's put in writing, it's put throughout the kingdom. The Jewish people are able to look at this for themselves. And they have to ask the question to themselves, will they return? Will they return? Will you return? We find a principle here that God is looking for as many as possible. But the principle we find is that there's always a remnant that comes back. If you're not familiar with that word, I would encourage you to write down that word, because that's an important word, an important principle that we find throughout God's word, the idea of remnant. The idea of a remnant means that there is a remainder. That's where the root word comes from, a remainder. Just a remainder. So you guys remember those fun days where you did long division?
Yep.
And you didn't do it the Common Core way, but you actually did it the real way, where you actually had the little bar. And what would happen is that when things didn't work out evenly, you would have what was called a remainder. A remainder was a part of the whole. It was the part that, when it was all divided, the thing that was left over. So it wasn't a full part of it. It was a remainder of it. That's the idea of a remainder. The idea of a remnant is that out of all of the whole, only a remnant, only a remainder, only a small group responded. Only a small group wanted to return. With this question being asked, will you return? Only a remnant decided. Now, someone could look at that and say, well, all we got is a remainder. Oh, woe is me. No. Never. Little is much when God is in it.
Amen.
We've watched revivals pop up all over the world because of a remnant. We have stuff like the Welsh Revival of 1856, I remember. This revival sparked, or one part of that revival sparked, when one little girl in her public school said, I love Jesus with all of my heart. And God did something there that caused people to respond to him. Part of that revival sparked out that by the time it was done, people were meeting in a square, even if it was raining, and they would be on their faces in the mud praying to God. Big groups of people praying and asking for revival and God doing something. But it started with a spark. It started with one. It started with a remainder. It started with a remnant. One of the principles that we find throughout the Bible and throughout history is that God works through that remnant. God doesn't work in the masses. He doesn't work with the idea of all these people just all of a sudden having a grand revelation. It starts with a small group of people who want to see God work. These are the true elements of revival. When these people are responding to God's word and responding to God, there are so many times in history, so many times where it seems like it's dead, but there's a little spark, there's a little flame left, that little remnant, and God blows upon it and strengthens the thing that remains, and from that comes a remnant. I've got so many biblical illustrations, whether it's the idea of Sardis and the churches of Revelation, which we'll get to here in just a bit, where Jesus writes a letter to Sardis and he says, thou have a name that lives, but thou art dead. Well, that sounds pretty bad. And then he says, but strengthen the things that remain. There are few that have not spotted their garments. There's just a remnant, a small little spark. And he says, strengthen the things that remain, and revival can come out of it. Just the remnant. We can look at, well, no one else wants to. Who cares about no one else? The question is, will you return?
Amen.
Will you respond? Will you move forward? God is looking for a remnant. He's looking for a small group of people. Dr. R.A. Torrey used to travel around the world. He said that it was said that he took three different continents and shook them for the Lord. Everywhere he went, he said, I give you a simple prescription for revival. And if it's followed, it will always work and it will not fail to work because it's a Bible principle. He says, let a few people, and may it not be many, let a few people get thoroughly right with God. He said, this is the key ingredient. Until this is done, Nothing else that I give you will matter. Let a few people, and it doesn't have to be many, get thoroughly right with God. Then he says, let those people devote themselves completely. The second one is for them to pray for God to work and to pray for God revival, and that God will work until revival comes. So just keep praying, just keep praying. The third one is let these people put themselves at God's disposal for the winning of souls. He says, I've given this prescription all over the world, and wherever I've given it and it's been obeyed, it's always worked, because it's a Bible principle. What is the principle? Let a few, and it doesn't have to be many, that remnant, get thoroughly right with God. Will you return? Will you return? That's the question there that's posed in Ezra. God used King Cyrus to call a remnant of people to himself. He desired a remnant of people, and through that small remainder of people, God wanted to do a great work throughout the entire nation. He wanted to work for the rest of the world through this. God wanted to revive the people. So with this in mind, let's see some principles here about this question, will you return, as we begin the book of Ezra in Ezra chapter 1. We start off with God called his people to return. God called his people to return. We know that everything begins with God, that God already had this in mind. In fact, hold your finger here. May I show you one of my favorite prophecies of the Bible? Every once in a while, someone will ask me, how do I know the Bible is real? I will smile real big and probably take them to this passage. Look with me in the book of Isaiah. We're coming back to Ezra. Isaiah, we're going to take a pit stop there first. Isaiah chapter 44. Isaiah 44. Remember that God is always at work. And there's a principle that we've taught you before, that God is always previous. Before we even realized we had a need, God already met that need. Amen. God is always previous. Isaiah 44. And notice with me, starting at verse 26, Isaiah 44, verse 26, that confirmeth the word of his servant and performeth the counsel of his messengers, that saith to Jerusalem, thou shalt be inhabited, and to the cities of Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and I will raise up the decayed places thereof, that saith to the deep, be dry, and I will dry up the rivers, that saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple, thy foundation shall be laid. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of the kings to open before him the two-leaved gates and the gates that shall not be shut. And it goes on. But here, it's calling Cyrus by name. You say, well, wonderful. We see his name in Ezra. Well, what's so wonderful about it is that this passage in Isaiah is written about 750 BC. The events of Ezra is found in 336 BC, 200 years before. And God had called Cyrus by name 200 years before he was born. You see, before they even had a need, God had already met the need. You say, well, what else? Well, at the time of Isaiah, Isaiah is actually in the capital, looking at the temple. The temple's still there. It's not destroyed yet. It's not going to be destroyed for another 150 years. After the temple is destroyed, the people are going to be brought into Babylonian captivity for 70 years. And then God is going to raise up Cyrus, a Persian heathen king. Cyrus was not a believer. Cyrus was not a Jew. He was not a Christian. He was a heathen king that God raised up for the express purpose of allowing his people, God's people, to return back. You see, God already knew what he was doing. God already had a plan. This was not a backup plan. It was not something, oh, well, the people messed up. How do I fix it now? God already knew what he was doing. And he was allowing the people to realize that God hates sin and he will punish even God's people for not trusting in him. But then God says, I want to revive you back. I'm so thankful that even as Christians, when we sin, God always wants to invite us back, to draw us back, because he still wants to use us. He wants to revive us. The idea of revival means re-life, new life. That means that there has to be life there in the first place. You have to be saved. And he wants to fan those flames again. We all need revival. We all need that new life that God wants to use us even if we mess up. And that God has already prepared a way. God wants to draw us back. And the question again, will you return? Will you return? So back to Ezra chapter 3, or chapter 1, we now go back to the present time. Isaiah was talking about an event in its future. We fast forward to the present of Ezra. Ezra's there, and just like God said, God raised up Cyrus, and God had Cyrus declare, you guys, Jewish people, wherever you're at, you can go back home and rebuild the temple, just like God said. Amen. And go back and worship him. See, God was more than just a building, more than just a nation. God wanted those people to return to him, to return to him. And God had arranged the circumstances to do this. Now, God's work is not one-sided. God put a lot of work to bring the Hebrew people back. But the people had their own choice. Will they return? Will they respond? You say, well, why wouldn't they respond? That's a good question. Why didn't they respond? How many people came back? A remnant. A remainder. Most of the Hebrew people never came back. Even today, the Hebrew people are scattered all throughout the winds. There are more Jewish people living in New York than what lives in Israel today. They are scattered people. Why wouldn't they return? They got comfortable where they were. They were making good money. They didn't want to give it up. They had influence and family. They didn't want to return. All these other things became more important than God. But there was a remnant, a small remainder that was going to respond. God is purposely working in our life. You know, there are things that God does in your life that you say, this is too rough, this is too... But God is working in your life to draw you back to himself. He's trying to get your attention. He's trying to say that he's a loving God. He's a gracious God. He's a real God. He knows what we need to finally wake us up. And there are some people I stare and some people actually talk to. What will it take for you to finally wake up? What will it finally take for you to realize that God's trying to get your attention? And God does things. I've watched God do things to people's family. I've watched God do things to people's health. I watch God do things to people's finances, all for the purpose of trying to draw them people to themselves. And yet over and over, they're like, I'm good. I'm fine. And someone looking at biblical perspective saying, what will it take for you to return? God is putting a lot of effort into you. Again, going back to the Hebrew people, that was a lot of effort to allow the people to be destroyed by Babylon and still keep the remnant safe and not let them be utterly consumed. To watch over them for 70 years, to go through the process of raising up Cyrus, which there's a lot more to his backstory of all the things that God did to bring him to that place, all for the purpose of this one decree, you can now return back. There was a lot of work that God did in those people's lives to try to draw them back to themselves. Why wouldn't you return? But that's the question in Ezra chapter 1. Will you return? Will you respond? There's a lot of work that God did because God is looking for a remnant. However, there's a response to you. You have to choose. to return. You have to choose to come to God. You have to choose to return and get the life, to surrender to Him, to let Him do His work. God has already put in a lot of work, but He won't force Himself upon you. You have to choose to return. Will you return? We see a second principle. All God's people were called. All God's people will return, were called. Not everyone takes a hold of God's word and lets God's word take a hold of them. There's a principle of whosoever will. Think of our favorite Bible verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God gave Himself for the entire world. For God so loved the world, He gave Himself, gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever will. Notice that. That implies a choice. God died for the entire world, but not all the world will come to Him. Whosoever will. There's a choice that has to be made. All people, God's people, were called. And all God's people are given the opportunity to respond. But only a remnant will. That word remnant is going to keep popping up. That remainer. Not everyone will respond. Wouldn't it be wonderful if everyone who heard the gospel clearly got saved? Isn't it wonderful to be saved? Then why won't they? Some because of pride. I'm religious and I'm good enough. I don't need this. Why? I'm Catholic. I'm Baptist. I'm whatever else. No. Do you know for sure that you're born again? Do you know without a doubt your sins are forgiven? Well, I'm good. What? Why wouldn't you? And yet people say this all the time. I'm good. I don't need this. I think I'm all right. I said a prayer years ago. A prayer doesn't save you. Jesus saves you. And God gives an open invitation. But whosoever will, there's a choice. And only a remnant accept. A remnant comes. Someone will say, well, can you give the gospel to the wrong person? No. Well, what if they're saved? A saved person should rejoice if you give them the gospel. Thank you so much for sharing this to me. Thank you. I love the gospel. Good. But there are some people that just won't. If you give the gospel to an unsaved person, it's his only way of salvation. They need to hear it too. God died for every man. And God is trying to call the remnant. In addition, every Christian should be a faithful witness. Remember that the noun needs to come before the verb. You must be a witness before you could go witnessing. I must have witnessed what God did in my life so I could tell others what God did, so they could experience it for themselves. And yet God calls every person to be a witness, but yet not all Christians are a witness. Only a remnant. You can almost see that it's starting to, not everyone's going to get saved, only a remnant. And from that remnant, not all of them will be a witness, only a remnant of that remnant. You're starting to see that very few are responding. That we need to be a witness and tell people. The most powerful tool we have in witnessing is telling our story of how we came to know the Lord and what God did to change my life. Remember, a proper witness should have three parts. What my life was like before I came to know the Lord, how I came to know the Lord, and what my life is like now. And the idea is that there should be something different. If you're living the same exact way now as what you were before you got saved, you didn't get saved. Amen. You said, that's pretty, no, something's wrong somewhere. And you need to check it. To have Christians who are poor testimonies hurt the cause of God so much. It's awful, people who call themselves Christians but don't act like it or behave like it. It hurts God. But only a remnant. We know that out of all God's people, God wants all God's people to read their Bible. You know who reads the Bible? A remnant. God wants all God's people to be faithful to church every time the doors open. But you know what happens? Only a remnant. You see, we're only working with a remnant of a remnant of a remnant. I'm thankful that God could use a remnant. But we need to understand that everyone has that calling. This isn't just for an elite, a group of people. This is an open invitation. But it's an invitation nonetheless. Whosoever will. And only a remnant. Will you return? Will you return? Which brings me to the third thing. Only a remnant returned. Only a remnant returned. Now remember, Cyrus wrote this open invitation. He had it, put it everywhere within the empire. You go to the post office, there it is. You go to the grocery store, there it is. You go to the trading post, there it is. Everyone had the invitation. Every Hebrew person could have returned back. Every Jewish person could have came back to God's house, came back for God's purpose, came back to Him. But only a few came back. There were three returns that are listed in this time. You're going to have the first return under Zerubbabel. For those of you who are one of my Bible students, these are things you need to know, and this should be a reminder. If you've never learned these things, it may be good to write them down so that way you're familiar. There were three returns back to the land after the Babylonian captivity. The first return under Zerubbabel with about 50,000 people. You said 50,000 is a lot. Yeah, well, think about the millions of people who stayed behind. Only a remnant came back. So Zerubbabel led the first return. It was under Zerubbabel that they rebuilt the temple. And praise the Lord for that. The second return was under Ezra, starting in Ezra chapter 7. At that time, about 5,000 returned. Actually, I think it was 2,000 or 3,000, but somewhere on there, the thousands. And that was under Ezra. And when they returned, they restored worship. The third return was under Nehemiah. And with Nehemiah, only a couple hundred returned. And there they restored the wall. But each time, God was calling a remnant to come back and do a service for Him. To rebuild the house of God, to restore the worship, to rebuild the wall to protect the city so they could continue with their worship. But there were three returns, three calls given out, and each time only a remnant came back. The masses stayed behind. The masses stayed where they were. Later on this year, not only we're doing the seven churches, which I made reference to, but the very end of the year, we're going to be going over the 12 disciples. You ever wonder why there's only 12? It's a good question. You see, Jesus, in his first part of his earthly ministry, preached to the masses. He preached to the groups and got great multitudes. And there, each time, the disciples had a calling. The first calling they had was to salvation. They were called to accept Him. The second call was to follow after Him, to call for ministry and to service. The third call was to be with Him. He called whom He would up in the mountain. And there He chose the 12. You see, it started with the masses. He preached to the masses and not all the people responded. And from the people that He responded, He encouraged those that responded to follow after Him. But only a remnant followed Him. And when it came time, He asked out of the remnant who He wants to be with Him. He found 12 that really wanted to be with Him. And then for the next 18 months, it's the last part of Jesus' ministry, He spent time pouring Himself, not into the masses, but to the remnant. Why are some people closer to the Lord? Because of that remnant. Jesus, of course, would love to spend time with everyone. But not everyone respond. Just those that have chosen to be with Him, to follow after Him, and that Jesus poured Himself into those people, that as they took a step to Him, He took a step to them, drew themselves closer. You see, you're always as close to the Lord as you want to be. Jesus didn't call the elite. He didn't look through and says, I want to find the very best 12. Actually, He went through and kind of found the very worst 12. What made them the best was because they actually said, okay, we'll be with you. Do you notice that there wasn't a single scribe among the 12. There wasn't a Pharisee among the 12. There wasn't a Sadducee. There was not a religiously trained one of them. None of them had went to Bible college. You know what all of them were doing? Working. Real jobs and working hard. And he said, follow me. He called him first to himself for salvation, called him second to himself to follow him. Third, he called them to himself to be with him. And out of all of those masses, there was a remnant. Praise the Lord for that remnant. They were not the cream of the crop. But with that remnant, he poured himself into them and they changed the world. Amen. Because that's what God can do. God is looking for a remnant. You know, sometimes young preacher boys get an idea that they're going to become such a great preacher and that people are going to bust in the doors to come in and they're going to have police just escorting people and traffic control and whatnot. And that sounds good and all. But in reality, God always has worked for the remnant. I'm not better than Jesus, and he worked with a remnant. He gave the invitation to the masses, but only a few responded. Because God has always traditionally worked with the remnant, with the remainder, with the few people that said, I will choose you. God's invitation, more people can respond if they wanted to. It wasn't a private invitation, it's an open invitation. By the way, that open invitation is still available. You say, well, I've never made those decisions. Start now. Amen. It's open to you. If you've never knew how to have your sins forgiven, see us. We'll show you God's open invitation, how you could receive his free gift of salvation and be forgiven of all of your sins. Praise the Lord. Open invitation. For those of you who have never decided to follow him, open invitation. You can do it if you want to. Just follow after him. Third one, for those of you who really want to be serious, there's a call to be with him. You said, well, I've started to follow. I've been reading my Bible and stuff. The next call is to be with him. And it's open invitation. You know, anyone could read their Bible, but very few people choose to read their Bible. You said, Pastor, you've been here over 9 years, and you always say, read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible. Why? Because there's only a remnant that does. Only a few. The question is, will you return? Will you be that remnant? Will you accept it? God is able to do mighty things. With 12 men, he changed the world. Acts chapter 9, these are the men that turned the world upside down. 12, a remnant. Little as much when God is in it. And God is looking for a remnant. Open invitation. Your greatest ability is your availability. As we prepare for an upcoming revival, we have to start with a remnant to see who's going to make that decision. That's for me. I will accept God's call. I don't have much to offer, but I'll accept it. And if God could use me, I'll just see what he can do. God can do a lot. Will you return? In your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.